Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 240, and we are going to bring lots of sunshine. It's going to be heading your way on this episode today.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. I'm Connie, and this is my co-host, Bruce, or Bruce, and I'm his co-host, Connie, however you want to.
You're the host. I'm the co-host. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
This is the podcast where we talk about Disney, and we hope you like it.
That's right, you guys. We really genuinely hope you like it.
By the way, thank you so much for all the recent reviews. We have over 600 reviews on iTunes now. That's amazing. Thank you for those.
How do you write a review on iTunes, by the way?
You go to iTunes and you hit write a review.
Seriously, it's that easy? Why couldn't I find... I was trying to write a review on one of my other favorite podcasts that... shall I name?
Nah.
Should I give him a plug?
No.
Okay. It's not a Disney podcast, but it's a science-y podcast.
Oh, yeah. You can plug it. Oh,
okay. It's Star Talk Radio featuring Neil deGrasse Tyson and Chuck Nice, which I love. They're hilarious. If you guys like science, it's really fun. Anyway... couldn't figure out how to write a review, and I was like, wait, do our listeners have a hard time?
Yeah, you just go on iTunes, and I think there's, I mean, I'm not sure, but I think you go on iTunes, and like up top, towards the top, it can be like, leave a review, and it should be pretty simple.
I don't know what was going on my phone, but I couldn't find it, so. Anyway, moving on, we have a great show, I think we have a great show for you today, because we are going to be unlocking one of Disney's most iconic, most favorited... Is that a right term?
Favorite? It is, yeah. Let's just go with it.
Attraction. We're going to talk about Splash Mountain.
Which we haven't unlocked an episode in quite a while. We've been getting a lot of questions, doing a lot of would you rathers. We came up with our new are you in or are you out? Yeah. Go check those out in past episodes. But we decided to unlock something, and Splash Mountain's a favorite attraction of everybody, as long as it's a hot day. And we haven't done an unlock in the episode in a while, so we decided, you know what, let's go for it.
Oh, well, I love Splash Mountain, and I know it's not an original attraction. It didn't obviously... Well, I don't know if you guys know this listening, but it didn't open with Disneyland originally. It actually came to fruition much, much later than I even thought.
So they were kind of doing Splash Mountain and Star Tours in the similar time. When you think about it, if I said to you, Connie, Star Tours or Splash Mountain, which attraction is older? You would be like, Splash Mountain, without a doubt, it's got to be way older than Star Tours.
Yeah.
And it's not the case, which is unusual.
I really thought in my mind, because it's become such a classic attraction, so many people love this ride, myself included. I know you, Bruce, it's one of your favorite rides.
It's one of my favorite attractions. There's one part I don't like about it.
Okay, we can talk about that in a minute. The pros and cons.
Yeah, let's get into that.
But anyway, yeah, I definitely thought it was unveiled much earlier than it actually was. It wasn't actually unveiled to the late 80s, which, again, to me... I just didn't realize. So we're going to talk about today as like in our true unlocking form. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of Splash Mountain. Of course, when we talk history, we're probably going to talk more about Disneyland because that's where it started, as well as Walt Disney World, but more sort of a splash, no pun intended, of Walt Disney World. And then we're going to talk about things that we love about it, our favorite moments, and some of the differences between... I like to do the differences always between Walt Disney World and Disneyland, mainly because those are the two parks that we visit the most or have visited at all. And, of course, we have to end the show with a Would You Rather.
All right. The thing that I like that Disney does is, for the most part, when they do an attraction in Disney World or Disneyland and it's similar to the other one, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they're different. You can go on Pirates in Disneyland and Pirates in Disney World, and it's not exactly the same attraction. Even though it's got the same story, it's not the same exact attraction. And that's the similar case with for me with Splash Mountain.
Yeah. And I love that. I love being able to have the opportunity to compare the both. And I think that you guys listening, if you do and can make the opportunity to do that, I think you won't be disappointed. It's a lot of fun.
What do you think makes this attraction feel older than it is?
I think just because it's such a that's a good question. I don't know. It's a great attraction. I think maybe because flume type log rides are sort of a classic in every kind of theme park, it seems like nowadays, that I feel like this was just a no-brainer when they opened in the 50s or the 60s. But I was wrong.
I feel like it's, even though it came out in the 80s and it is associated with a movie, it's not really a well-known movie that everybody would know. And I think it has that Disney feel where it's like an original attraction, like an original story for an attraction.
Are you kidding me? The song Zippity Doodah? I didn't even know until I was much older that that's where I've heard the song so many times. Like, that's Zippity Doodah, and it sticks in your mind, and you literally can't help but feel happy when you hear it.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of the attractions where you go on, other than the getting wet part.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into that later.
Okay.
I feel like, for me, this is an attraction where I go on, and until that drop, I mean, the drop is fun, don't get me wrong, but yeah, going through the attraction and seeing the different scenes, you're always like kind of smiling and dancing and having a good time with everybody in your log ride.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those attractions where maybe in the beginning you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm not so sure about this, but then sort of, it happens to me kind of like halfway through, I start clapping, and that's kind of like what, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast before, but my obsession is to be the first one to clap on a great attraction and kind of get the entire not necessarily my log ride, but like everyone around us, because you kind of can see other people when you're on this attraction at some points, and I can get them to clap. That's like my favorite.
So you're like you want to pump everybody up on the attraction, like the captain of the
I'm the captain. Team. Yeah, exactly. That's my favorite thing to do. So I love clapping along to the Zippity Doodah. And I feel so happy. Like, anything that I was worried about in my life or anything kind of stress just immediately like melts away.
Until the stress of your shoes getting soaked and you realize you have to walk around like that for the next 7 hours.
Okay, so Disneyland describes this attraction as a hair-raising adventure. It says, hop inside a hollow log and float around through a colorful bayou. As you follow Go-Lucky Briar Rabbit to his laughing place. I gotta tell you, the colorful bayou, I feel like it's a little bit more colorful in Disneyland, and I actually really love the images. Like, when I go through it, it's much more than auto animatronics to me. Like, when we're visually going through the attraction, just something happens, and I'm just like in awe of the colors.
They should have two different attractions for this, like they do with... Okay. The other one, where you can go on the green one or the orange one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love going through it. And I don't mind the drop.
Yeah.
It just depends on where you sit. Like, some days I want to go on this attraction, but it's not super hot. And I realize it's earlier in the day. And I just don't want to be soaked for the rest of the day. But I really want to go on this. It's like one of those attractions where you really have to, like, determine whether or not you want to be soaked or not.
I feel like it's like... I can appreciate what you're saying, because I feel the same when we're going on Tower of Terror.
Wait. You don't get soaked or nothing happens to you after Tower of Terror. Like, you go on Splash Mountain, especially in Disneyland. You sit in the... Hold on a second.
Okay.
You sit in the front seat. The deluge of water comes over the front, soaks your whole lower body. You have to live with that for the rest of the day. You go on Tower of Terror. You enjoy the attraction. You may get a little scared on it. But when it's over, it's over.
Okay, now you hold on a second.
Okay.
Because technically on Tower Terror, you die.
I mean, you die a little on the inside, but that's the fun part about it.
Okay. Anyway, not to bring that into the mix, but I got to be honest, and I don't know if this is a little too honest this early today, but when you said this is one of your favorite attractions, I was kind of surprised. Not because of the whole wet thing. I get it. Like, I was like, okay, well... First of all, I know you don't like being wet, but like, to be brutally honest, it's like a little too happy, and I was surprised that you like it.
It gets me happy. Sometimes I'm a little grumpy. You got to get a little happy.
So this puts you in a good mood?
How can you not be put in a good mood on this?
No, I know. That's what's shocking. Like, if it can put you in your hangriest moments in a good mood, knowing you're going to get soaked, that says a lot about the attraction.
There has to be some sort of strategy behind where you sit that I haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
Note to self, don't go to Disneyland, Splash Mountain, and sit in the front seat. Because that dip, I don't know what happens in Disneyland versus Disney World, but when you go down that loom, the drop, the Disneyland one dips more than in Disney World, and the water comes up in a different way. And it doesn't get you wet with the splash. It gets you wet with the river of water that comes over the front.
Yeah, you're really making people a little nervous about this attraction now.
Your weight management is important on these love rides.
Okay. On the description it says, you will get wet, and it has an exclamation mark. It says, this attraction includes 950,000 gallons of water, 3 dips, and a 5-story drop. Where you're seated will determine how wet you'll get.
How many gallons of water?
950,000.
I'm pretty sure 742,000 came over the front.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Give or take a gallon.
Yeah. This attraction is actually for 40 inches tall. You know what really fascinates me about these flume rides is the fact that there are no buckles. Like, speaking of like science, right? When I said that my favorite science show, whatever, like, how did they figure? They must have had scientists like come in and determine. Maybe we can have Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show to tell us, like, how did they know you're not going to fall out of your seat? Because every time we go, that's the one thing that makes me so nervous. I literally get so scared because you're just holding on to the side, really.
I don't even think there's anything to hold on.
There's really not. Like, I mean, it's wet. It's like slippery. There's no seat buckle. Like, how did they figure that out?
I don't know.
Was there like a, all right, you know, so and so, go ahead. Like,
they have test dummies in there going down the log. All right, they didn't fall out. We're good to go. But they have other attractions that have buckles and things. You're like, really?
I know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's like Caterpillar that goes around in a circle at 2 miles an hour. Am I really going to fall out of this?
I mean, you know, you never know. But other than that, that always just always made me a little more nervous than I think I needed to be, because whatever. Anyway, moving on. Disneyland also actually has one sentence, which we're going to get into this in a little bit in more detail, but it says, a splash of history. It says, many of the critters in the cast originally made their Disneyland Park debut at the classic show America Sings, where they performed patriotic melodies in Tomorrowland from 1974 to 1988. So that's a little, I like how they shared a little of the history on the actual description of the ride, even though it didn't go into too much detail, but, you know, it's just a website describing the attraction. So I guess they don't have to go too far into it.
Are you talking about like the ending?
The ending. Well, yeah. Why don't we talk about that now, like the history?
Okay.
Because I have a lot that I pulled up and it's pretty fast.
Define a lot.
A couple of paragraphs.
Perfect. Are you going to read them all?
Okay. Did you know that originally they were going to call this attraction Zippity-Doo River Run?
Only knew that based on the fact that I did a tiny bit of research for this episode of the show.
Tiny bit. That's fine.
But I did not know that. And I did not know why it was called Splash Mountain either.
Well, I have a hard time believing that it was because the movie Splash was coming out. I know that there's multiple sources that say this, but I can't understand why that would even work, because it doesn't even, like, mermaids doesn't even go with the theme.
Well, there was supposed to be a mermaid in there.
Oh,
and they were going to call it Splash Mountain to correlate with that movie Splash that was coming out.
But I'm talking about the whole land in general.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
That's probably why it didn't happen.
Got it.
They just kept the name, because if you think about it, the name is kind of catchy. And they could do two things at once.
That's
and if you
true.
Know Disney, they love multi-purposing.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, it's recycling.
Right.
You know, like, let's not waste not. They worked hard on these.
Right. Let's recycle every old movie they have 14 times over.
Sound a little bitter there. That was going overboard.
It's not bitterness.
This is off topic.
Sorry. Let's get right back on topic.
Stay on topic.
Kind of had something to do with it.
Oh,
we were talking about recycling.
Whatever.
Got me going there.
Okay. This is, this was interesting to me because I didn't realize, but it's also based on a movie story, which we actually have never seen, Song of the South, but, and the idea of Splash Mountain was developed by Disney Imagineer and legend Tony Baxter, who is actually the second generation of Imagineers, which if you read more about the story of Splash Mountain in particular, it's interesting because they had so many of the young and older, let's say, the newer and older Imagineers sort of coming together, which was a difficult time. Don't forget, Walt Disney was not around during these periods of this new development of attractions. And I'm sure everyone must have felt the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, following attractions like Haunted Mansion or Pirates or yeah. Space Mountain, there's so many legendary attractions to live up to. And you don't want to mess that up.
Right.
And you don't want to be like, you know what? We should go in this direction and then have the attraction be a complete bomb.
Yeah. Okay, so fact number two, much of the critter cast in the land here of Splash Mountain came from another wonderful Imagineer. And speaking of the older generation of Imagineers that I was talking about, it was Disney legend Mark Davis. And he actually designed many of the Splash Mountain auto animatronic figures for America Sings. And I know part of that was in the other the other description. I think they had it in the actual website for the attraction. But that's something that's good to know, because a lot of these figures from Disneyland are something that they repurposed, which right. I think is fascinating.
So if you're going to the end of the attraction, when you see that the riverboat and you see all of those animatronics on the riverboat singing, all of those animatronics were actually from something else. They actually got them like, you know, we have all these animatronics that we can't use anymore. What can we do with them? And they decided to do this ending scene where they all sing at the end of Splash Mountain, and they created that riverboat, and they have all of these attractions kind of repurposed again on this Splash Mountain attraction, which is actually ends up working really well. And it's actually a fun part of the attraction to kind of come down and see all those people singing. Well, animatronics singing. I actually smile at that as I'm trying to dry off.
This was actually the biggest animated prop ever built. It's a 35-foot wide showboat. Did you know that, Bruce?
I did not know it was 35 feet. I would have guessed 30.
Okay. Well, these animatronics that I was talking about from Disney legend Mark Davis were renovated for Splash Mountain. So new auto animatronics came in, like Briar Bear, Briar Fox, but they have 103 total of these critters inside the attraction. That's a lot of...
How many?
103.
That is a lot. When you, I don't know how do they come up with that number. They must be like small ones. Like there are, if you're going through the attraction, there's always if you looks and crannies where you can see these little tiny animatronics, and like you have to really pay attention or go on multiple times in order to be able to catch every. It's like any like going to Disney, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. If you figure it, you're going on Splash Mountain. You think you've gone on it once,
right?
And you go on it a second time, and you see a totally different attraction than the first time you went on.
I literally can't get enough. Like, I was just thinking about when I was thinking about unlocking this attraction, I was like, I can't wait to go back. Because you do see something different.
That's why I want them to do one without a huge drop at the end. So okay. You don't get soaked. Because I want to go on this, but I always second guess myself. I'm always thinking about the 6 hours after the ride.
Maybe they can take the Country Bears, that attraction, right? And then make that into a riverboat ride. But it's the Country Bears. Like, that's how they can repurpose that attraction.
They should have two sides. One goes down the drop.
Okay.
And one doesn't.
Love it.
Or one's just, like, down the drop, but it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no splash at the end.
Yep.
And they can just call it Mountain.
Well, did you know, fact number three, an entire Disneyland realm was...
Dry Mountain. That's what they can call it.
Dry Mountain. Okay. That sounds perfect. All right. Number three, as I was saying, fact number three, an entire Disneyland realm was renamed to welcome Splash Mountain. Did you know that prior to Splash Mountain, Disneyland area that where Splash Mountain resides was called Bear Country?
I only knew that again because of a little bit of research I did for the podcast.
Because this area was populated by varieties of frogs, alligators, vultures, which, by the way, my favorite, they renamed and rechristened it to Critter Country.
Why are vultures your favorite?
I love vultures because they're part of your evil...
They're scavengers.
Whatever. They're fun. They hang with the evil queen. Maleficent.
Got it.
Okay. Fact number four, the grand finale gives guests a satisfactual surprise.
What is that?
Splash Mountain guests eagerly anticipate the exhilaration of the final drop, but there's more to come after the celebrated splash for the log vehicles that glide back into the show for the grand finale, which we just discussed, the grand finale of the showboat. Here, 22 audio animatronic characters celebrate aboard the, do you know the name of the boat?
No, I don't.
Just try to guess.
No idea.
Okay, she's called the Zippity Lady.
I should have known that.
It's
should have known it had something to do with zipping it.
Zipping it. That's why I said try making a guess. All right, and do you want me to share the last fact I have, or
this is a fun fact? I'm really bad at guessing. I have no creativity when it comes to my guessing. If anybody asks me a question, say guess the answer to this, I'm literally gonna draw a blank.
Yeah.
I have no creativity when it comes to guessing.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, but how come when you say stuff to me and you say sometimes things with such confidence, I believe you, and it turns out they're not even true?
Because if you believe it's true,
it is.
Then it's true.
Okay. So, fact number 5, 30 years ago, Splash Mountain became part of the most famous theme park mountain range anywhere.
Let's see. Wait a second. Can you say that again?
Splash Mountain became part of the most famous theme park mountain range anywhere.
Is that a question?
No, it's a fact.
Oh.
Upon its debut, I don't even think we said late 80s, but I don't think we mentioned exactly when it was opened. So this is Disneyland Splash Mountain. It debuted July 17th, 1989.
1989?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, don't you feel like it should have been around? Like, I thought it was around, like, and from the 70s at least. Like, I didn't realize.
Yeah, it came out so late.
Yeah, because
like, I did not know that before this. If you said, take a guess when this attraction came out. First, after drawing a blank for 20 minutes and not being able to come up with an answer, I definitely would have had a 70-something in it.
Yeah, for sure. As much as we think we know Disney history, we really didn't know that it opened that
Connie,
late. Yes.
Take a guess.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay, thank you. This attraction towers 87 feet above Critter Country, features 5 drops, including the famed final plunge. That is actually more than, here we go with science, 52 feet.
Should have been like, guess how many feet the plunge is.
Are you done cutting me off?
Sorry.
Okay. It's more than 52 feet at a 45-degree angle.
See, again, you should have said, guess how many degrees of angle the drop is. You can do this all day.
Oh, we can. Really can. It still fascinates me how there's no buckles and you're able to go down 52 feet without a buckle. And
at a 45-degree angle?
And you can be 40 inches tall.
I'm pretty sure if it was 47 degrees, they would have needed buckles.
Right. It says, the thrilling attraction made such a... This is so cheesy. The thrilling attraction, which was the reason why I love it. The thrilling attraction made such a, well, splash that it opened at both Magic Kingdom Park at Walt Disney World and Tokyo Disneyland in 1992.
Interesting.
1992. I mean, that's like yesterday, isn't it?
No. Unfortunately, it isn't, Connie.
Oh, and 10 years ago isn't the 90s?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Let me just take a guess. It's 2019 minus the 10, carry the 1. No, it's not 10 years ago.
Okay, good. All right. Well, that makes me sad inside, but all right. So there's a little bit of the history. I think we shared enough that I feel make you...
Engaged still? Yes.
Engaged still and not bored out of your mind. I was trying not to read too much, but it ended up being a lot of fact reading, but I think
you did a good job of mixing in a little bit of fact reading. And take a guess at how long this podcast will last.
32 minutes.
Perfect.
Okay. Next, let's talk about, I think we should talk about the favorites, right? Or you know what? Actually, sorry, scratch that.
Okay.
Let's talk about the differences, because this is something new for us as well. I'll just share a couple.
Yeah, all right, go for it.
We don't have to go on and on. But Walt Disney World, Disneyland, the one major difference to me in Disneyland is the fact that it's a single rider flume log thingamabobber.
Yeah, that's a perfect technical term for it.
Thank you. Or single file line, like you sit... Back to back.
So it's almost the opposite of Space Mountain. Where Space Mountain in Disney World is a single rider. Well, technically a single rider. Even though you're with people, you're alone.
You're like, right.
And Space Mountain in Disneyland is you sit next to somebody. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Not to confuse everybody with it.
Would you rather
okay.
sit next to somebody or not sit next to somebody?
I think on this particular attraction, I like sitting next to somebody.
I think on any attraction, I would rather sit alone.
Oh, really?
Any attraction on Earth, okay, ever. I'm always choosing the single rider one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember if we squeeze in the kids next to us in the Disneyland.
Yes, we do.
I feel like we do. But it is meant to be a single file line. And I think that's what makes it so different. It seems like, well, with anything in Disneyland, it's much slimmer.
That is true.
So that's something to keep in mind. It feels very tighter as you go in through. And then in Walt Disney World, so we talked about it's side by side, and we have some great photos of like the side by side. And because I feel like you can fit so many people, maybe the line is a little bit
quicker.
I mean, I feel like that's with everything in Walt Disney World. Like, they figured out crowds, so they streamline a lot of things.
I think the difference, too, is that Disney World has space.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
When they do these attractions, they know that it's going to be busy, and they can account for the space. Whereas in Disneyland, they don't have that space available. They got to kind of work with what they have.
Yeah. And then the attraction in Walt Disney World is actually a little bit longer than in Disneyland.
Which you can kind of tell when you're on there.
Yeah, I can tell. I can definitely tell that it's a little bit longer. And it's one of the attractions where I feel like the line, granted, we don't typically wait longer than 60 minutes for anything, but even if you waited the full 60, it's the one attraction that makes you it doesn't make you feel like you wasted time, because you're in line and it's a thrilling attraction. So you get that feeling of excitement when you're done, which makes you forget the wait time. But you also, it's like a very long attraction, so when you're inside, you feel like I want to say you get your money's worth. That's what I really want to say. Like, you really feel immersed in
the queue. Even the queue on Splash Mountain, even though there's not really much to it, especially in Disneyland, where you feel like you go down the stairs and then you get into that queue and you're in the area where Splash Mountain is, you feel secluded in that area.
Wait, start over again? I wasn't paying attention.
I don't want to.
Okay. I was going to add, because I was going to talk about that, the Disneyland queue versus the Walt Disney World queue, because Walt Disney World, you're outside for longer, which helps, I feel like, with the crowd.
It also helps with, like, definitely helps with the crowd. Nothing worse than being, like, indoors, squished next to people.
Not only that, but, like, the way they wrap you around in the Disneyland version, like, you almost at times feel like you have to have, like, single rider line outside. Like, the way it kind of hugs the corner of the attraction, whatever. Anyway, but that's just a few differences I thought would be interesting to share.
And they're subtle, but noticeable.
And obviously you're right. They are subtle, but obviously the Disneyland version, you'll get those historic auto animatronics that you won't find. Well, you won't find now. Maybe they will be historic someday, right?
True.
30, 40 years from now, they'll be.
Historic. 10 years from now in 1952.
They will be.
I mean, 2052.
1952.
What was I saying?
I don't know. So I thought it was important to share because I think that it's interesting. And like you mentioned earlier on the show, it's cool how Disney does these attractions slightly in different variations, even though they're named the same. They have similar ideas. But they just tweak them ever so slightly where it makes it so interesting.
I love that because it makes you want to go to Disneyland if you constantly go to Disney World and vice versa. It makes it makes you have a reason to go there because yes, you've been on Splash Mountain in Disney World 17 times. But when you go to Disneyland, it's Splash Mountain. The name is the same, but it's a different attraction.
Yeah.
So you're going to see the difference.
That's smart.
Which makes... Wait a second. Are they tricking us to go to two different places?
It's a good strategy.
I think they're tricking us, actually, now that I'm saying that out loud. Totally tricking us to go to... Make it the same so I don't have to go to two different places, will you?
They're smart. That's great marketing. What do you mean? You should appreciate that.
That is true.
You love marketing. Okay. So I feel like the entire episode, we talked about things that we loved. Maybe we can share a few.
That we love or...
Yeah, the things that we love about... Like, what makes you love... going this attraction, and that maybe can trickle into our favorite moments on Splash, because I think that the two kind of...
No, you go first.
Okay.
What do you love about it?
The thing I love about Splash is the music. So it's something that it can be cheesy or corny in the beginning. You're kind of like, I'm not in a good mood. Maybe you're hot and you just want to get cooled off. But once you're actually in there and you can find the beat and you start clapping, that's really where I feel the... like such energy and just so grateful to be alive in there. Like, it's just so fun.
I think you're right. I think it's, I'm trying to think as you were talking about that, if there is another attraction that has the mix of excitement and thrill with the drop and the showmanship of kind of the pre-drop where you're sitting on the boat, especially when you're like sitting in the back and you can see everybody else in the front of your loom kind of dancing and bobbing their head and having a good time. Is there another attraction that puts those two together where it's not just a show where you can have fun, but it also adds that thrill part of the drop?
Really doesn't, right?
Like Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain, kind of. Big Thunder Mountain kind of does. Mm-hmm. But then before you know it, you're off and you're going. And it is not real time to really bob your head and have a good time. You're into it. Maybe at the end when it's over, everybody's kind of clapping and having a good time. But Splash Mountain gives you that couple minutes before the drop where you can just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. I think it just puts you in just like this critter party. Like you suddenly find yourself in this party with critters. Like it's more than just the story. Like I feel like the Walt Disney World version maybe has an easier storyline to follow versus Disneyland, but regardless, it still feels like some kind of celebration in a way.
Yeah, right? Like you should be like, what are you doing? How can you be not happy about it if you're going through there?
All right, so wait. Did you share your favorite?
I think I'm with you on that. I know I just said like, yeah, I think that it does a great job versus any other attraction of mixing in the story aspect and having a fun time on an attraction and then also adding the thrill part.
All right. So what are some things you don't love about the attraction?
Listen, I don't love getting wet. I don't mind getting wet a little if it's a splash.
Well, it says here, even on the, now I'm on the Walt Disney World one, and it says riders in the back may experience a sudden splash or spray. Those who opt for the front can expect to get soaked. So
was that when I went on there? I sat the girls made me sit in the front seat. I think they tricked me. And there was this wave of water that came over the front. And it didn't necessarily soak me in like the top of my body. It was more of the wave that came over, and there was a foot of water in the log ride towards the where my shoes were.
Lift your feet.
Listen, it's a single rider. I'm a big guy. Like I couldn't even lift my feet if I wanted to.
It says those in the front can expect to get soaked.
Oh, I didn't see that. Now I know. So that's the only thing I don't like about this attraction for me. It's not, I don't mind getting wet in the moment. I just don't like walking around after with wet pants or shirt. Like I just don't enjoy that.
I got to tell you, I don't enjoy you not being enjoying that because it makes us miserable when you're miserable.
Yeah, just listen.
But from now on, you're just going to sit in the back. That's what according to the website, that's what it says.
And Dry Mountain, baby.
Dry Let's Mountain. Go. Dry Mountain. They do have lockers that are available in the main entrance that you can, as far as the Walt Disney World version, that you can kind of maybe...
This is where flip-flops, I guess, come in. That's why people wear flip-flops. But I'll never do that. But this is where, I guess, why people wear flip-flops in the parks.
You're not going to wear the man flops?
Never.
All right. You know what I didn't know? No, before, I guess I wasn't paying attention, and I'm not sure if we ever did it with our kids. But in Walt Disney World, it says, an alternative for little critters, there's a little cheery play area that I, now that I think of it, I see all the time, and it's so cute.
Well, that's where I go when you guys are on the ride, and I don't want to get wet.
It's for children under 40 inches tall.
Oh, I didn't see that sign either.
It's called the Laughing Place. That's so fun. This is a fun.
I hang out there quite often.
Fun thing.
Tap some magic bands.
Yeah.
Hanging out on the slide. It's like a bunch of us that don't want to get wet.
All right. Share with us your favorite moment or favorite moments on Splash.
Didn't I just do that?
No. You talked a lot about getting wet.
Favorite moment on Splash. Going through the attraction and not getting soaked.
Okay. Any other favorite moments?
Favorite moment on Splash Mountain.
Think deep. Think, you know, like, I want something really...
Hitting the bathroom right after it's over.
Okay. That's your favorite moment?
It's one of them.
What about taking the photos? There's so much to talk about.
I do enjoy taking photos, and it's always like our kids always come up with something that we should do for the photo.
They're like in charge, and then they kind of delegate who does what.
I think this in Space Mountain, I know they take photos almost everywhere, but this Splash Mountain and Space Mountain is the two where they really coordinate what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. They literally get...
And sometimes I'm all on board, and sometimes I deliberately don't do what they ask just so I can be the one person who's not doing it.
You're so awkward.
Sometimes that's my favorite moment.
Oh, okay. Like you look the other way.
Yeah, like if they say, look... No, just like if they say, do this, I'm doing the complete opposite.
Why are you going to ruin it for us?
I like being the odd man out.
Well, technically, that's putting more attention to you if you're the odd man out. So
yeah, but nobody looks at anybody else's picture. True. Have you ever gone to Splash Mountain and gone to the screens and been like, look at that family's photos?
No, but I think I'm going to now.
I've never done that. I've never, ever looked at anybody else's photos.
Why don't we make a thing where we don't look at ours? Everyone just look at other families from now on. And if like, you look just at make other, friends.
I don't know. Is that like being the creepy guy on the bench?
No, not if you all coordinate. Like, you're like... Do you listen to Unlocking the Magic? Yes. All right. We're going to look at your families. You're going to look at mine.
I feel like that would be weird.
All right, maybe. Yeah, but that's how you make instant friends. Like, you really get to know the personality of your neighbor when you see them posing for Splash Mountain.
But they're not my neighbor.
Like, you know if they're uptight and if you want to hang out with them or not.
I don't ever want to hang out with anybody. I'm good with it.
Okay, good to know. All right. So that is actually one of my favorite moments in Splash. One that stands out, well, a couple actually that stands out in particular is the first being spelling out happy birthday to our teenager who was celebrating a very special birthday. And that was really fun trying to coordinate the happy birthday signs without her knowing.
That was, even though we got it wrong.
Whatever. We still did it and it was hilarious and I love doing that. If you go on like certain websites, you'll find like even like Pinterest or whatever, some of these ideas that people do on, talk about like really thinking about a concept of what to do on a photo. It's pretty incredible.
Not only that, but the execution is unbelievable. To me, that's impressive.
Yeah. And my other moment would be just going with our kids and our nieces, that few trips that we took all together where there was 11 of us and 11 of us squeezed on. How the heck did we do that?
That wasn't our finest moment.
11 of us squeezed on the attraction at Walt Disney World. And I still think about that till this day. And I seriously don't know how we fit, but it was the most fun I think I've ever had. And it wasn't a warm day in Walt Disney World, and it wasn't necessarily the attraction that we all were excited to go on because it wasn't warm and we knew we were going to get wet, but I still think about that moment and giggle.
I often do too, because we look at the picture we have on the fridge every day, pretty much, of us, not anybody else.
Yeah, okay. All right, so would you rather?
You know, it would be even... Oh. No, you go ahead. Would you rather?
Right. Would you rather, or just trying to wrap it up?
Thank you for that.
Okay. Would you rather now Splash Mountain in Walt Disney World or Splash Mountain in Disneyland?
I very often say Disneyland, but this time I'm picking Disney World.
Oh, interesting. I thought this was a really hard one for me.
Really? Why? What makes it so difficult?
Because in Disneyland, I feel like the visually, for me, it's a little bit more intense, and I can't put my finger on why. Like, I just, maybe because I know in the back of my mind a lot of these auto animatronics are classics and built by, you know, someone that actually worked with Walt Disney, and it makes me kind of mushy inside. But it was hard. And then, like, versus Walt Disney World, I have a lot of fond memories with family, and it's longer, and I do like the queue more. So it was really a half and half for me. Like, I'm not sure still which one I would rather.
Wow, that was way more thought than I put into mine.
Yeah, you're like,
I feel like I should go back and reevaluate my decision.
You really should. Take all the time you need.
I'm done. Okay. Disney World.
All right. It's fair enough. All right.
Well, now it's time.
It's time.
That was a good job. Good job on that, Connie.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate all your research on that. That was a great episode. I have to announce the winner. So last week we did the same thing. We announced the winner. We said, hey, take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast here. And take a screenshot, share it on Instagram. And a lot of people did that. We had quite a bit of people who screenshotted their listening of us on the podcast and put it on Instagram.
Thank you, guys. I really love seeing that.
Should I do it again?
Of course you should.
All right, let's do it again. Do something funny, though. Let's do it. Let's mix it up.
Okay. We're going to switch it up?
Switch it up.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Now we're going to do... Let's brainstorm this out right here live on the air to really annoy those two people who left reviews that said we don't have our stuff together. Really going to annoy them right now.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
We're going to talk about it right here on the podcast, and we're going to figure this thing out.
We're going to hash it out live here. Okay.
Tag a friend. Here's what you got to do.
All right.
You're going to screenshot your listening to Unlocking the Magic podcast, share it on Instagram, and tag a friend who should also listen.
Got it.
And then us as well.
It can even be a couple friends.
Yeah, whoever you want. Whoever you think you should be listening to us on the podcast with you and enjoying us just as much as we enjoy ourselves.
And this is only Instagram? There's no folks for Twitter?
You could do Twitter.
Because you could tag like...
Nah, Instagram. Forget Twitter.
Forget Twitter for now.
Yeah.
We'll do
Twitter just Instagram. Twitter's so 1989. We'll just do... like Splash Mountain. All right, so to clearly define what the rules are,
please
screenshot
do.
Us listening.
Okay.
tag us and a friend. And then we'll pick another winner next week. And beautiful. I'm going to announce the winner for this week's podcast. Connie, take over the show for a second while I go find a winner.
I want to thank our sponsor, Kingdom Strollers. They're actually a Disney featured stroller provider, and they actually have luxury strollers available. You don't have to be present for delivery or return. They bring it for you. You can use it the entire time you're at the parks. And I gotta say, it's been a lifesaver for a lot of folks visiting Walt Disney World. We've actually gotten a lot of comments after the fact saying thanks to recommending them.
Yes, and definitely. Joffrey's Coffee.
Ooh, yeah.
Specialty coffee there. You know what? By the way, if you do like Joffrey's Coffee and Unlocking the Magic podcast, tag them on Instagram or direct message them and be like, hey, I heard you on Unlocking the Magic podcast. Fist pump, magic band tap, boom.
Done.
That's it. That's all you got to say there.
All right.
All right, so here's the winner.
Okay.
The winner of the t-shirt of your choice, Unlocking the Magic style,
Or I said we could also send someone a cooling towel.
That is also true.
Okay.
Or a sticker for your laptop if that's your thing.
Okay. Doesn't have to be a shirt. Maybe you don't like shirts.
I mean, that's weird.
But hey, maybe they like shorts.
We don't judge.
Maybe they like jorts. I don't know.
We don't have Unlocking the Magic jorts. We are fresh out.
Okay.
I'm saving those all for myself.
All right.
Here's the winner on Instagram. Teacup Carousel. You are the winner.
Yeah.
Congrats, Teacup Carousel. Hannah from Teacup Carousel is the Instagram handle. Congratulations on winning a t-shirt of your choice, a mission towel. We can send you one of those or some stickers. Or if you are desperate, we will send you some jorts.
We'll find them. We'll take them from, I'm pretty sure the critters in Splash Mountain wear jorts.
We should do a jort Tonga Toast meetup.
Okay.
Never happening.
We should move on.
All right. So Hannah, direct message us on Instagram. Congratulations. Also, thank you to everybody who left reviews. I'm just going to give a couple people shout-outs. I'm not going to read the review.
Okay. Fair enough.
Jed, J-E-D-I-E-B on iTunes says, great podcast. R. Connor, 2626 says, great podcast. Saint with it says, fantastic. And Beatmaster 69, we're going to leave it right there. Team Tonga is too much. It said Team Tonga's too much. So I think he's on both teams.
Oh, got it.
Team Tonga and too much.
Well, I thought you said you weren't going to read the reviews.
That wasn't the review. That was just his headline.
Oh, I love it.
And then Mike says, a unique perspective. A lot of people have mentioned in the iTunes reviews how much they enjoy the fact that we don't live in Orlando, which kind of excites me because we don't live in Orlando, but then it bums me out because we don't live in Orlando.
Yeah, right. I'm like, whoa, slow your roll, because the goal might be to live in Orlando.
Yeah, what if we move to Orlando part-time one day? You're going to not enjoy the podcast then, or do we pretend we're not in Orlando?
Let's just pretend.
Wow, it's really cold here in Boston.
Womp womp.
All right.
Drink our dunks.
Yes.
We'll bring old dunk cups. Yeah. Do a live show. Okay, I'm sorry.
I think they have Dunkin' Donuts down there.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they do. I'm sorry.
By the way, Joffrey's is a sponsor, so can you quit mentioning Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't like, I actually don't like Dunks that much. But it's like a Boston thing. You're supposed to.
I guess so.
I'm not into it. All right, go ahead.
We have Joffrey's. We just saved the Dunkin' Donuts cup. We actually put Joffrey's coffee in it.
It's actually true.
It's the truth.
Okay, go ahead.
True that. Go ahead. Where am I going?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Thank you so much for the podcast. Thank you so much for listening and making it all the way to the end. I appreciate you guys. So remember, in order to win next week's contest, congratulations, Teacup Hannah from Teacup Carousel. Tag us on Instagram.
It's a great name. Teacup
Carousel. Share in your stories. That is a great name. Tag a friend and us, and we'll share those on our Instagram. And you'll be entered to next week's contest, which will be, what's the next week's podcast going to be about? Have we decided that yet?
No, we haven't.
It's probably going to be either a listener show or another version of I'm In, I'm Out.
Okay.
Let us know which one you want to hear. You want to hear, you want to get your questions answered, or you want to be in or you out?
Yeah, we've got a lot of questions to answer, so maybe that is also true. Be included regardless.
And something we haven't mentioned, we're going to be doing some live broadcasting inside of our Patreon group. So if you're not inside of that, we're kind of working on our studio here for some live shows. So if you're a Patreon member, thank you so much for being a Patreon member. And if you're not, you're going to miss out on those live shows, because that's the only place you're going to be able to see them.
You can't miss out on a lot of tea.
That's right. That's right. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye, everybody.
Yes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.